The Computer Science Department at the University of Maryland is pleased to announce that on February 18, 2014, the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation announced that Elaine Shee is to be one of the winners of its Sloan Fellowship. This fellowship is awarded to 126 early career scientists in a variety of fields. Elaine joined the Computer Science Department as an assistant professor in 2012, and she is also a part of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center. Elaine's research combines systems and theory to design new computing systems that are secure and privacy-preserving. She has a range of interests from privacy and applied cryptography to security and privacy technologies for cloud computing, as well as ubiquitous computing. My name is Brandi Adams, and I was able to sit down for a few minutes with Elaine and ask her about the award, her current research, and how she got started as a computer scientist.
My name is Elaine Shee. I'm an assistant professor in the computer science department at the University of Maryland.
Let's talk a little bit about the Sloan Fellowship that you found out that you've received recently. So congratulations on that. So from what I understand, it's a two-year fellowship that's awarded yearly to about 126 researchers in recognition of their distinguished performance and their unique potential to make substantial contributions to their field. What was the process to apply for this award? So what did you have to do in order to be considered for it?
So I basically need to write a 2 to 3 page research statement and proposal, mm-hmm. and need to get like 2 to 3 letters of recommendation from people outside the university, and also Samir, the department chair, also needed to send in a support letter for the application.
Okay. What project did you propose to work on for this loan?
So I've been working on this pretty big effort on oblivious computation. So the idea is suppose you store your data in the cloud and you would like to do computation in the cloud, but you don't trust the cloud server. And in particular, the adversary may actually have physical access to the cloud server. Like the adversary can be a malicious insider of the cloud company or a malicious intruder into the physical data centers. So in this case, the adversary can snoop sensitive data, maybe by probing memory buses or reading off memory contents. So the idea is that we wanted to design this technology that can build a cloud platform that secures against these physical attacks. And one big problem we try to address is, so previous technology can basically encrypt memory, and all the data that you store in memory will essentially look random if you don't have this secret encryption key. But then a lot of sensitive information can leak through the memory addresses. So there's this technology called Oblivious RAM, which can allow you, in theory, it can allow you to secure against access pattern leakage. Mm-hmm. But this was, it was proposed in the 1990s as a theoretical concept, and no one, you know, really thought about making this practical. It was believed to be kind of prohibitive for practical usage. So what we did was we took this technology and we made it really practical. There's not only advancement in terms of theory. So on the theory side, we actually came pretty close to solving an open problem that has been open for like the past 2.5 decades. And on the practical side, we made this really practical. We designed this new paradigm of design constructing these oblivious RAM schemes. This made it possible to build like the first secure processor prototype that can obfuscate memory access patterns.
Okay, so obviously you're doing quite a bit of work in both systems and cryptography.
Right.
So are you working with anyone else in the department or outside of the university on this particular project?
So within the department, I've been working with Michael Hicks and Bobby Bhattacharjee. And outside the department, I've been working with my collaborator at Berkeley and UT Austin. So there's this thing has generated a lot of excitement recently in the community. So other than, for instance, the group, that our group, there's also another group at MIT, and they are also trying to build this this kind of secure processor that can obfuscate memory access patterns. Right.
Okay. So I guess this sort of leads me to the question, how did you get here? So how did you start out? What made you decide to become a computer science major? What really fascinated you about security and sort of both the practical and theoretical parts of that field? And ultimately, sort of what brought you here?
What brought me into computer science was perhaps back in high school. And I guess I owe it to the so back then, I guess China was trying to promote more women into computer science. So they had this national Olympiad in informatics, and then they encouraged women to participate in that. And they at that point, they even had a rule like every team must have at least one female, and the female score will count into the like the team score. So I guess initially, I mean, without that, actually, I might not have entered computer science. And then my computer instructor in high school, in middle school, she basically encouraged me to attend this. At first, I was a little hesitant because everyone else participating in this was like a guy, and then they were like those. They most of them like started learning computers in elementary school. So I initially I didn't feel like I belonged to this group, but then with people's encouragement, I decided to actually participate, and I did really well, and I really liked it, and I made a lot of friends, during the competition. So later, because I won the second prize in the national contest, I was admitted by Tsinghua University. And then at that point, it was already like a no-brainer to choose my major because all my friends go to the computer science department. So I just go there as well.
So it's always nice when you have a community of people working with you. So it seems to me that that sort of collaborative spirit has you've continued that. So you're working with a lot of different people in the department, both in theoretical and perhaps more practical systems work. And you also seem to have a really nice community of graduate students. So do you want to talk a little bit about the grad students and who you're working with currently?
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have very strong graduate students. My graduates, so because my research kind of combines theory and practice, my graduate students, I have students who are working in various different aspects of security as well. Some of them are more focused on the theory side. Some of them are focused on the programming language compiler side, and some are working on the system side. And then some students actually, they are also striding multiple areas. Like in their research, they're also combining theory and practice, which is what I really like to see.
Right. What do you think are the advantages of being able to be someone who is both proficient in theoretical computing as well as something that's a little bit more practical?
It's really nice, I think, to know both about the theoretical aspect and the systems aspect, because most of my research, the motivation for the research problems come from practice. But then often, you know, you can, by thinking really deeply about the problem or thinking about fundamentally new theoretical approaches, you can have novel solutions, you know, that are outside the box.
Okay. So I'm going to kind of go back to an earlier statement that you made, that one of the reasons why you got into computer science was that you were encouraged to do this. What do you think that a university like Maryland can do? Right now, we have approximately 1,470 undergraduate students, 14% of whom are women. What do we do to try to increase the numbers of women in computer science at the undergraduate level?
So I think it's very important to maybe reach out to high school and middle school students and try to interest them in computer science early on. And maybe sometimes people have some kind of misconception that, you know, women and don't belong to computer science or engineering subjects. But I think from my own experience, like and there's a lot of exciting problems to work on in the space. And then once you actually step into the field and you make a lot of friends and you find all these problems really exciting. So I think it's important to encourage students at a earlier age. You know, things like these programming contests would be very helpful, but one challenge is to maybe bring more women into these contests. So for instance, China did back then, you know, the requiring that a woman must be on the team, and these are extremely helpful. And so when I was in high school, like those contests were, you know, each individual participate independently, and then the scores are added up together to be the team score. But that you can also have those collaborative contests where maybe three team members program together, and that can also encourage, for instance, the women to interact with the men on the team, and they help each other out. So I think once a community forms, and then the women will feel more at home, and that's very important to retaining and encouraging and retaining women in computer science.
Okay. So right now we know that you are teaching Computer Science 414, which is the security course.
Yeah.
So what's it like teaching undergraduate students? Because you tend to work on these very heady problems, things that require quite a bit of experience, both in theory, which requires quite a bit of math. And if you're going to be doing cryptography and the type of problems that you're doing on obfuscation, definitely you're going to have to be able to do a fair amount of math. How do you get people excited about this kind of stuff in 414?
I like to give examples and like applications from real life, and this and things that people can relate to. So I think this is a way to also make the undergraduate students understand why this is important, why security is important.
Well, what are one of the examples that you give to have people think about security in the everyday?
For instance, like this morning I was teaching hash functions, and the example I gave was like, suppose you are downloading some software, let's say an antivirus software, but the software, maybe hosted on this peer-to-peer network, BitTorrent, and then it is important, that you download the correct software, because if the software is like a malware and you install that, then your computer can get infected. So how do you, for instance, make sure the software you download is authentic? So I typically give examples like this, and today a lot of people are storing their data, like their emails, their medical records, things online. So these are things that people can relate to very well. So like, your information is out there on the internet. And so there's like all these privacy issues. And I like to give examples like this.
Okay. So let's say a student really enjoys your class, does well, and he or she wants to do research with you. What's the best way to approach you to talk about doing research?
I have an open door policy, so they can just walk in anytime or they can send me email. I always welcome students to talk to me. I think a lot of interesting and exciting ideas are generated like during communication. So I really encourage students to talk to me, whenever they have a good idea, they want to do research in computer security. And I'm always happy to talk to students.
Fantastic. So let's say we have a lot of students who are coming in as graduate students in the fall who might be interested in doing work with you. Is the process a little bit different for graduate students?
For the next round. So I'm on the PhD admissions committee right now, and then there's a couple students that look really strong, and then they are really interested in working with me. So I really hope that they'll come here. Yeah. And the graduate admissions process, I guess, so some students did their undergrad here, mm-hmm. so you might have already met the student. Others are applying, you know, from everywhere. The process is that they submit their applications. Typically, sometimes if I look at the student's application, I'm interested, I would maybe talk to the student on the phone to make sure that this might, you know, we might be a good match in terms of research interests and style. And if this is a good match, then I typically recommend to the admissions committee to accept the student. And also other students approach me at like conferences. Mm-hmm. Like some students have already done research in their undergrad and published, you know, great papers, and then they would approach me at conferences and then express their interest in working together.
Okay. So I guess we can also talk a little bit about what was it like to find out that you got the Sloan Fellowship? So can you walk us through that day? What was that like?
Oh, yeah, I was really excited. I was actually helping a friend to do a dry run for his job talk, and then the email arrived in the middle of the talk. So, yeah, it was very hard for me to stay calm. but I managed to do so, yeah. And I immediately sent the email to a couple of friends in the department and informed them of the great news and thanked them for their support throughout these years that I'm here at Maryland.
Okay. What is it? What does this mean to you that you've won a Sloan? What does this mean?
It means a lot to me. And so I feel really great that, you know, people acknowledge me for my research. And that's one thing. But also the funding would also be very crucial for me to bootstrap my research program at Maryland. So in that sense, I'm very thankful for the generous support of the Sloan Foundation.
That's fantastic. So I just have a couple more questions for you. Your office is located right now in the Cybersecurity Center.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what it's like to work there.
The Cybersecurity Center is, I think, one of the greatest things about Maryland, and it provides a very nice environment to support my research program. And the greatest thing about it is, you know, people from different backgrounds, like cryptography, programming languages, systems, they all interact together on a daily basis. From my perspective, this kind of interdisciplinary environment generates a lot of interesting, exciting new ideas. And because my research, my own research is kind of, you know, strides these multiple areas, this is kind of the perfect environment for me to do my research.
As we wrapped up our conversation, I asked Aline what she found special about working in academia as a professor.
So essentially offers me a more supportive environment for me to pursue research that are longer term. You know, research that may not be, let's say, immediately profitable tomorrow, but, you know, may take 5 to 10 years. So these longer term research agendas, I feel like academia will provide a much more supportive environment for.
It was quite obvious during my conversations with Aline, as I'm sure it is with our listeners, that she's a tenacious researcher and teacher, and she'll certainly go on to do notable work with her Sloan Fellowship. To learn more about Aline's work, or to contact her about collaborative research and security, be sure to visit the CS Department's website at www.cs.umd.edu. Thank you so much for listening.